This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel it. Feel it. Feel
it's
it.
A World Suicide Prevention Day. And according to the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, it is actually estimated that there are 23 suicides per day in South Africa, still very underreported. And for every one suicide, there are at least 20 attempted suicides. And just to continue and add more conversation to this, South African men are actually four times more likely to die by suicide than women. And I mean, with COVID-19 and the many lockdowns that have resulted in job losses and online learning and all the things that we've had to adapt to, our mental health has really been gravely affected. So to talk to us about this, we have CCDU psychologist Lynn April. Please help me welcome her on the line. Good morning, April. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Is this
Khomotso? Yes, it is Khomotso. I'm also joined by Mbumi, so we will be conversation with you.
Hey, Lynn, how's it?
It's good, and how are you this morning?
I'm great. Fantastic, thanks.
So, Lynn, just to dive straight into it, why do we need and actually have a World Suicide Prevention Day?
So, as you see from the title, it's World Suicide Prevention Day today, and I think because there is a very clear acknowledgement that the prevalence rates for people who die by suicide, I think we're looking at some rates of close to over 800,000 people that die, and specifically in the age group between 15 and 29, which obviously student population sits within that age group, it is the second most common cause of death. So obviously, based on some of those statistics globally, we can imagine that South African students also would be at higher risk of death by suicide.
Lynn, it's been quite a difficult 2 years because of COVID-19, and I can imagine the amount of stress that students have been facing. This is not obviously just from campus and schoolwork, but the fact that possibly their parents have been laid off because of work that's affecting their schoolwork and their mental health. What kind of support have they been receiving on campus?
Okay, so the CCDU, we offer students crisis support intervention in terms of therapy or admission to hospital. In terms of resident students, they get booked in for a 72-hour evaluation observation at the Akiso clinic. For some other students who maybe don't have access to that right now, we would refer to hospitalization in the public sector. We also have our psychiatrists on board who do the diagnosing and administering of medication to support students, you know, during depressive episodes using medication. So a combination of therapy, risk assessment, hospitalization, medication from CCDU, OSS, DRU, and other support services within the university structures as well.
Would you say that because of COVID-19, there has been an increase in a number of people who are experiencing just different kinds of mental health? It's just a lot more severe in the past 2 years. Have you seen differences from the past years to this year and last year?
So the difference we're noticing is that students who maybe used to cope before, they are also coming, there's a lot more students coming for help for the very first time experiencing episodes of depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. And then we're getting people who have struggled with mental health issues, prior to COVID, that they are, some of them seem to be struggling a lot more. So that's some of the picture that we are seeing. We are seeing more students talking about having suicidal thoughts and, you know, the anxiety around how they are going to cope and manage in different areas, the academic sphere and the compounding effect sometimes of being at home and not being in a safe and healthy environment that might be conducive to a healthier mental health functioning. So we're seeing, you know, elevated rates of anxiety, especially from people who have never experienced them before. And then, like I said, people who have been struggling previously are struggling a little bit more now. So help-seeking behavior with students on campus, with the online services, we're definitely seeing an uptake in the percentage of students on a day-to-day basis reaching out for help has significantly increased over the last 2 years than previously.
And Lynn, it's Khumotso here. What are some of the common myths about suicide and how can we actually dispel them?
Okay. So, you know, there's quite a few, and depending on what literature you look at, there's a combination of different ones. But I think what I specifically wanted to highlight maybe is, and what we hear quite a lot from students who come to therapy and say to us, you know, it's very difficult for me to talk to my family or my friends or somebody close to me about these suicidal thoughts, because I get judged for seeking attention, or that I'm maybe considering being selfish about doing this. So I think the very important thing to kind of bear in mind that anybody who is thinking suicidal thoughts, is contemplating ending their lives by suicide, they are going through extreme stressful emotions, and it feels overwhelming. And it feels like at that moment, and for however long they've been feeling it, that those feelings are just not going to go away, and they don't feel like they have any other solutions or alternatives. So, you know, the idea that people only do this to seek attention, or that they're being selfish, is really not a very accurate or appropriate kind of judgment to measure people's distress. So that's something I suppose I'd like you know, audience to keep in mind, that people are in really, really distressful, agonizing pain, and these thoughts are not something that we want to dismiss or ignore and not pay serious attention to. So those are one of the ones that we often hear in therapy people talking about, that makes sufferers reluctant to share their stories. And then the other kind of myth is also that if you talk about suicide, it will lead to and encourage suicide, and actually the opposite is true, that the only way we can really break the stigma and break these myths around mental health and suicide, and why people contemplate something as drastic as suicide, is to talk about it, to have more conversations, to really listen with compassion and support and empathy.
Because
I think none of us really know what life circumstances somebody else is experiencing and what life circumstances we ourselves might experience that get us to the point to contemplate something as drastic as taking your own life.
Yeah, my last question was actually going to be, what kind of support do I give someone who is feeling suicidal? Because I love the fact that you touched on the fact that we sort of invalidate how they feel. We feel like they give up too easily. They're not the only people going through difficult times, and without really taking the time to sometimes you don't even have to understand, because you can't understand, because it's someone else's life. But what kind of support do I give a friend or a family member, you know, who is feeling suicidal? This is on a day-to-day basis. How do I check up on them? What do they need? What kind of support do they need from me?
Okay. So one of the things you've just said now is to check up on them, right? So that's part of an ongoing, I suppose, process that you can engage in with a friend or a loved one who has indicated either thoughts, or you notice that something about their behavior or their mood is very, very different to what they've how you've always experienced them. And if you notice any of those things and they are maybe initiating a conversation with you or tentatively reaching out to you, or you see a message on a WhatsApp that makes you a little bit concerned, it's you know, show interest. Ask the questions. Ask the very direct questions. Ask the question around, are you thinking about suicide? Do you have, and if they say yes, then you can maybe ask a question like, do you have a plan? How would you do this? And that will also give you an idea of, okay, so if they've got a plan, then maybe I need to activate some support resources, either within the campus, setting, or if you're at home, it might be your GP or some other, medical kind of service as well. But I think the most important thing is to be willing to listen in a very non-judgmental way. Don't try and offer advice. You know, listen, hear them out. Reassure them that, you are there for them in whatever way that they might need. Some might be a little bit reluctant to reach out for help. You know, see if you can encourage them to reach out to CCDU, or maybe they'll, want you to accompany them to one of these places, because people feel a lot of shame and guilt about some of these feelings.
Absolutely.
And so it just complicates the picture. So the more kind and compassionate and non-judgmental you are in listening and, saying, okay, let's see if we can do this, let's see if we can access that, and then checking in afterwards. Those are very, very important. I suppose being decent human beings in that way, to help each other when we are struggling and when we are at our most kind of distressing moments.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lynn, for your time. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you for sharing this. It's Lynn April from the CCDU unit. She's a psychologist. She just touched on the kind of support and love you could give to someone who's feeling suicidal, who's struggling with mental health, and how you could just be there for them without really feeling as though they give up too easily. They're not the only ones going through difficult times, because sometimes that is the idea and the attitude towards people who have issues. You know, some people don't cope with issues the same kind of way.
Yeah.
So the suicide crisis line is 0800-567-567. That's where you can reach out if you're having difficulties. And of course, the CCDU is open for you. As you heard, they're offering lots and lots of support to students who are going through difficult times.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or streams by www.vofm.co.za.